Hare Krishna. We are very happy to invite all the special guests and the students this evening. We are very fortunate to have with us His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj for yet another Prerna festival. Today His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj will be speaking on the topic In Search of Lost Love. And to give a brief introduction about His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he was born in America, and at a very young age of 17, left home searching for God, traveled all across the globe, came into India, and his struggle searching for different spiritual paths, meeting various gurus, it is beautifully documented in his autobiography, The Journey Home. And then later he surrendered his life at the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. And since then, he has been serving in ISKCON, first in New Vrindavan as a pujari and in youth preaching. And later on here, from 1986, inspiring this wonderful community of devotees, showing Varnashram in action, pioneering a unique project, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, where devotees are providing not only medical care but also spiritual care, midday meal program, ISKCON Food Relief Foundation, where more than 2 lakh children are getting wonderful wholesome Krishna Prasadam every day, Gopal Garden School, where the children are taught Vedic culture along with their academic education, and of course many such projects including the ISKCON Youth Services, which has been His inspiration and guidance. So many young, educated youth in India do not have the proper direction for character building. So He has provided a wonderful inspiration and infrastructure through the basis and through various other programs, especially this Prerna Festival, where every month thousands of youth come together. It's a celebration of understanding the real goal of life, and we are very happy to invite all of you this evening. Let us express our gratitude to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj by very loudly chanting Also, we are very happy to welcome special guests, especially Mr. Ranganathanji and his good wife, the retired bureaucrat and one of the chief advisors at Somaya, and also Dr. D. Ramakrishna, who is from the Purdue University, chemical engineer par excellence, and he has won the prestigious National Academy for Engineers Award in America, and also happens to be one of my uncles. And we are meeting after a very long time, and probably first time he's seeing me in this avatar. And also his brother Sukumar and his good wife are here. So let us welcome all these special guests by loudly chanting. May I invite Maharaj for making the presentation.
Welcome you. My sincerest gratitude to all of you for so kindly taking your very, very precious time to be with us today. I was given the subject to speak on search for our lost love. The most incredible discovery of my life was a simple truth. That all of our desires, with their countless longings, gratifications, and frustrations, have a single origin. Forgetfulness of a love that is dormant within our hearts. Finding that love is our greatest need, because it brings true fulfillment, and that love can empower us to be instruments of a positive change within this world beyond our imagination. Some years ago, I met with Mother Teresa in Calcutta. She told me that the greatest problem in the world is hunger. Not hunger of the belly, but hunger of the heart. People are lonely. People are emotionally starving and trying to fill it with so many other things. But the only thing that could nourish the heart is love for God. She told me that she knew some of the wealthiest people in the world, New York, London, Sydney, Los Angeles. She saw starving people. And the greatest service, the greatest welfare activity one can do in this world is to feed that hunger of the heart with God's love. But we have to have pure motivations in order to do so. We mistake temporary pleasures to be love. This mistaking of the temporary sensations of the world lies at the very core of the human condition. These flickering sensations, they are like a mirage. A person who is in the desert is searching desperately for an oasis of water. But in that desperation, due to longing and hopefulness, sometimes mirages appear. It appears that that mirage will quench our thirst, but all we get is a mouthful of hot sand in the end. So what is real love? In order to understand that, we have to understand who we really are. This body is like a vehicle. It's matter. The eyes don't see, the ears don't hear, the nose doesn't smell, the tongue doesn't taste, and the flesh does not feel. It is you and me that are seeing through our eyes and experiencing life through the senses. The body is compared to a chariot. The mind is compared to the reins, and the senses are the horses. The intelligence is supposed to be directing according to the passenger, the Atma or the soul. This is the basic teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. That we are not the body, we are not the mind, but we are the living force that animates. And that living force is of a spiritual nature. Its potential is to love, and its need is to be loved. Spiritual love is what we're all searching for. Actually, all the progress of civilization through millenniums is simply in search of that love. Science, technology, entertainment, family life, art, music, business, economics. We're all searching for that one thing, what the heart needs, to love God and to feel God's love. Lord Chaitanya prayed, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajya Kabunoi Saravanadi Sudhichiti Koriye Yudoi. That love is dormant within the heart of every living being. Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. Our natural position is that we are the eternal servants of God. This is a universal principle. In the Bible, Jesus speaks, what is the use if you gain the whole world if you lose your eternal soul? And the first great commandment is to love God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And the natural consequence of such love of God is to love your neighbor as yourself. How is that? How is it that loving the center, God, the center of all existence, enables us to spontaneously love every living being? The Gita tells, Mamaivam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. Because every living being is a part of God. Just like every ray emanating from the sun is a part of the sun. When we discover the love of God that is within our own hearts, then we see an inseparable part of God in every living being's heart. Male or female, black, white, red, yellow, or brown, Hindu, Muslim, Christian, Jew, Parsi, Jain, Sikh, Pakistani, Indian, Israeli, Palestinian. These are all temporary bodily designations. They're ever changing. They're like clothes on the body. But when we actually understand our own soul and our own relationship with God, we can identify the soul in every living being and see their relationship with God. Then instead of hatred, there's love, there's compassion. It's the fundamental greatest need in the world. Everyone is searching for this lost love. And when we recognize what we're really looking for, then the real journey of human life begins. Because we are a part of God, and we have lost that connection with God, we are searching for that relationship. But Krishna, who is the complete whole, the supreme and absolute truth, he comes to this world to search for his lost lovers, us. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuta nama dharmasya tadatma jam shramya. Krishna tells us in the Gita, whenever and wherever there's a rise in irreligion, and when there's a decline in true religious principles, I descend to this world. Paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chuduskritam. Why does the Lord come to this world again and again and again? In the Western scriptures, there is the messiahs, there is the prophets. And in the Vedic scriptures, there is accounts that encompass millenniums and millenniums of different avatars of the Lord coming according to time, place, and the people of that environment to essentially give the same message that we have forgotten the lost love for God that was within us. And because of that, we suffer. And we have a propensity to mistreat others. Why? All of these great avatars is the supreme lover coming to this world to search for his lost servants. That is our great hope. Sanatan Goswami in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he explains how one day Krishna with the gopas and the cows were returning from the forests of Vrindavan to his home. On the way, a soul that had just attained spiritual perfection appeared in the cowherd pasture as a beautiful little cowherd boy. When Krishna saw him, he ran to him and embraced him. And in the ecstasy of love, both Krishna and the new coming cowherd boy, they both fainted in ecstasy. All the gopas, they were very much astonished. Who is this boy? And why is Krishna laying on the ground in an unconscious state? So Balaram approached Krishna and brought him back to consciousness by singing sweet words and fanning him. And then Krishna spoke to this new cowherd boy. He said, you left me long, long ago. You forgot me. But I never forgot you. Lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, you tried to enjoy the material world. But I was always in your heart, waiting for you to turn to me. You suffered storms. You suffered diseases. You suffered broken hearts. Sometimes you enjoyed wealth, prosperity, high education. But eventually it was all taken away. Didn't you feel separation from me as I felt separation for you at every minute? And then finally you turned to me and you gave your life to me. And I saw how difficult it was in this material world for you to turn to me and be faithful. You were ridiculed. You were persecuted. You were criticized. Sometimes you had to beg. But I was always with you, there to protect you. And now, finally, You have returned home. I welcome you. Then Krishna brought that cowherd boy to his own house and shared prasad with him. You see, although the absolute truth is perfect and complete, Om Purnam Adha Purnam Idam, he is Atmarama, which means he's completely satisfied in and of himself. He's not in need of anything. He's Akila Rasamrit Murti. He's the very embodiment, the storehouse of all loving emotions. But this is what the absolute truth is explained to be in our Vedic literatures. Although he's full and complete and ever fully satisfied, the perfection of his love is he feels pain of separation to see any one of his children suffering in forgetfulness of him. However small and insignificant we may think we are, Krishna is feeling separation from us. But he will not interfere with our free will, because love cannot be dictated. Love cannot be forced. Love has to be an expression of our free will to actually satisfy us. So for you and for me and for every living entity in this world, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, Krishna comes in various incarnations. He sends his messengers just to remind us of what we have forgotten. What selfless love, the origin of all love, Krishna is. We forget him, but he never forgets us. Vedaham samatitani varatamanani charjuna bhavashani chabutani mam tu vedana kashchana. Krishna tells that I know everything that has happened in the past. I know everything that's happening now and all that is yet to come. And I know intimately every living being. That is the greatness of God. He knows the desires. He knows the enjoyments and the sufferings. He knows the obstacles facing every insect, beast, or human being on the earth, every fish in the sea and every bird in the sky, in every planet of every universe and beyond. He's within our hearts, just waiting for us to turn to him. And he's coming again and again just to try to remind us. That is our hope. Such a loving guardian. He's always waiting for us. The cowherd boys of Vrindavan, they understood Krishna's love. Therefore, they were totally fearless. When the great Asura Aga opened his mouth in the form of a massive snake, the gopas, some of them thought it was some sort of an ornament in Vrindavan, just to make their play more exciting. But others said, no, can't you smell his breath? This is a gigantic snake that's come to kill us. And they all smiled, clapped their hands, and said, well, let's go inside his mouth. Krishna will protect us.
And they were smiling and running right inside this giant serpent's mouth. Now, for you and me, if one little tiny serpent this big opens his mouth, we become fearful and run away. But Aga was 8 miles long. And his mouth was like reaching the clouds. And his eyes were burning with anger and lust. They just ran in, clapping, smiling. And they looked at Krishna. We know you'll save us. And it is explained that Krishna, he was thinking, what am I going to do now? They went inside his mouth. How could I kill the snake without hurting my friends? Because they're inside of him. And so he made a plan. And he went inside. And you know the story. He expanded himself. And ultimately, he gave Agasura a place in the spiritual world. And his friends, they were actually dead. He glanced upon them, brought them back to life, and they came out of his mouth and said, Krishna, let's eat prasad together. We're hungry. This is the spiritual world. This is the liberated state, where there is this complete faith and hope, complete realization in the care and the love for God. And Krishna gives us that when we open our hearts to receive it, to connect to that divine presence within ourself and within everything that exists. Cannot be done with our senses. No matter how good we make microscopes or telescopes, or our intelligence, no matter how many degrees or books we memorize, or through any of our sciences. Our sciences may be very helpful in dealing with the temporal problems of this world, if they're in the right hands. Otherwise, it could be the cause of the problems. But to actually connect to the divine. All of the great saints and all of the great acharyas throughout time told us the bridge is faith. Not blind faith, but real, substantial faith. Through this faith, we can see, we could hear, we could feel the divine within ourselves, within every other living being, and within everything that exists. And where does that faith come from? It's within our hearts, but it is awakened when we associate with saintly people who have that faith. Time and again, Krishna explains that he manifests within this world, especially through the hearts and the lives of those who love him. Krishna is searching for his lost love, you, and revealing himself through the scriptures and through the saintly people. Therefore it is said, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sarva sastakoi, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sarva siddhihoi. Even a moment's association with a person who really loves the divine is more precious than anything else in creation, because it can awaken that hope hope in the infinite love of God. It can awaken that faith which is preliminary to actually follow the paths that God has given us for enlightenment. It is compared, this world and the illusion that covers over us, to a vast ocean. An ocean that has no bottom and has no shores. Let us take an example. If you are in the middle of an ocean, in the darkness of night, do you know which way to go? Through your eyes? But there's a compass in the boat that tells you exactly which direction you should be going. So this material existence is compared to an ocean. Bhavasagara. And the human life is compared to a boat, which actually has the potential to cross over this ocean. And the guru, the saintly people, are like the compass, the captain of the boat. And the teachings of the Vedas, or the holy scriptures, are like the breezes. If we have the right captain, he can teach us how to actually move forward with the help of these breezes of the great teachings. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has explained that one cannot know God by any amount of study of any amount of scriptures. One cannot know God through performing even the most terrible austerities like fasting or sitting in the sun in the summer or sitting in the Ganges River at Gangotri in the winter. One cannot know God even by giving him huge amounts of charity. All of these things can help us to become more powerful or more pious. But the only way to actually know the truth, Mahabharata and other scriptures confirm it, Mahajano yena gatasa panta, to follow in the footsteps of great souls. The compass of life is the example of saintly people. When we have faith in that, that faith gives us the genuine connection. Now, some people think that faith is inferior to what we call science. But every scientist has faith. No one lives even a moment without faith. Even unconsciously. Every time we breathe, there's an unconscious faith in us that by my inhalation, it's going to nourish me with oxygen. Yes? And even the most common things in life. You came here, you had faith, you would arrive. Factually, many people don't arrive. Every time you drive in the car, you have faith that you'll live to your next destination. And the scientists have faith in other scientists and what they had discovered. Yes? At one time, people thought the world was flat. They had faith in their scientists then. Then it was proven that the world was round. So now we have faith in that. Mahatma Gandhi, how many of you met him? How many don't believe he ever existed? He's just mythology. You have faith, but you never saw him. You never touched him. But you have faith in people who saw him, and you have faith in books. So everybody has faith. Science is based on faith also. But to go beyond the limitations of the mind, the intelligence, and the ego, and of course the senses, there has to be a different kind of faith. A faith in the example and the lives of the great souls. This was a very serious turning point in my life. Because some people believed in God and some people said it's all a myth. It's all some sort of a crutch that human beings create just to try to give sense to this chaotic world. But then, looking through history and also looking at the world today, people who were actually seeking Satyagrahi, this essence of religion, or spirituality. The people who made the greatest, most positive changes in this world. People who embodied the deepest, realest compassion. Were people who claimed to gain their powers by being instruments of the divine. Are they all liars? Are they all ignorant fools? Sentimentalists? Well, if they are, then let's all be like that. And they were in ecstasy. They were intoxicated with love, and they were sharing that love with everyone. But no. They were not liars, and they were not just sentimentalists creating some illusion. Otherwise, they couldn't live the way they lived. Their compassion could not have been the way it was. So the great scriptures and the great histories teach us about great souls. And when we see how they lived, not the people who exploit spirituality for their own egoistic purposes, but the people who actually followed. Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the essence of all the Vedas. And what is Srimad Bhagavatam? It's just telling stories, not only of different avatars of God coming in search of his lost loves, but of saints who on behalf of God are searching for the lost servants of the Lord. This year is the 500th anniversary of Lord Chaitanya's sannyas. Why did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who was an avatar of Radha and Krishna, why did he take sannyas? Why did he leave his home to travel in search of his lost children? To invite us to come home. And his method was very simple. Just have a little faith in the association of saintly people, live a moral life, and sincerely chant the holy names. take you back home. You can awaken that love. You can awaken that lost love within your own heart and find the innermost satisfaction forever. But beyond the destructive powers of time itself is the soul's love. And even greater is to experience God's love, which is always there, but we don't recognize it. We cannot feel it. Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, they taught us that the path is not to deny the world. The two processes of bhoga and tyaga, enjoyment and renunciation, they are both artificial. The natural, fullest, healthiest perception of the world we live in is to see how everything is the energy of the divine. And to utilize everything in a spirit of devotion to the divine. Rupa Goswami explained, to reject anything as material is incomplete renunciation. Because material and spiritual is simply our perception. Spiritual means to see everything in relation to God. Janmadyasya yataha, everything emanates from the Lord. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. All material and spiritual worlds emanate from me. Krishna explains that this material world is his divine nature. Divine means spiritual. When we forget the relation between a person or a thing with God, then our perception is material. But when we see the connection and reconnect through our consciousness the thing with the source of the thing, then we perceive the spiritual essence of that thing, which is truth, which is reality. It's not that this world is not real. The world is not an illusion. Our perception of the world is illusion because we do not see it in relation to God. We do not see that it is meant for the pleasure of God. Bhoktaram jagatapasam. Due to the false ego, we're seeing everything in terms of me. I am the center. When we see that Krishna is the center, then we see everything in this world as a beautiful aspect of Krishna. And every situation in this world is an opportunity to express our love for Krishna. And as we make spiritual progress on the path of bhakti, we realize this at every moment. Time is so precious. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to live. And what did he do in those 7 days? He was the emperor. He could have done anything he wanted, except extend the 7 days. He could have gone on an incredible vacation. Could have gone to the Swiss Alps. Could have gone to anywhere he wanted. Could have had the greatest entertainers in the world dancing and singing and performing for him. But with those 7 days, he
he searched for saintly people, sadhu sangam, because he understood that to search for saintly people, to be in their company, to hear from them, to learn from them, to be affected by their love for God, is to connect to God. And he spent every moment attentively for those last 7 days for that purpose alone. Time is very precious. The faith, the conviction, the realization and the enthusiasm to really follow a spiritual path, we require that sangam, sadhu sangam. It can help us to overcome all obstacles because it connects us with the inherent love of our heart. Yes, Lord Chaitanya, 500 years ago this year, he roamed the entire country of India searching for the lost souls to invite them back home. And today is the appearance day of Sripad Ballabhacharya, another great avatar of the Lord. He traveled the length and breadth of India. He just had a single cotton dhoti and chador, unsewn clothing. He traveled from place to place by foot, searching for the forgetful souls to restore their relationship with Krishna. In India today, there are 84 baithaks, which were primary places where he sat and he taught the lesson of pure bhakti. And in our modern times, our beloved Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, how he, on behalf of Krishna, searched for Krishna's lost lovers. We know how Prabhupada, on the Jaladuta, he crossed 2 oceans, 3 continents, no money, no knowing anyone. Whether he was in the Bowery of the Lower East Side of New York or in the hippie capital of Haight-Ashbury in San Francisco. What was he there for? Why did he leave Vrindavan? He left Vrindavan for the same exact reason that Krishna leaves the spiritual world to come here. Compassion. He's an instrument of Krishna's love, searching for the lost souls. And Srila Prabhupada, in that search, he circled the world 12 times. Besides Antarctica, he went to every continent on earth from the age of 70 to 81. Searching, 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 not to take anything, but to give Krishna's love. That is our hope. And Krishna and all these great representatives of Krishna, they have all taught us that Sharanagati, that spirit of surrender, makes everything spiritually potent. Now, for a materialistic person, surrender sounds like a horrible thing. It's like when the Allied forces bombed Berlin and bombed Cologne and just battered Germany, and the Russian army was marching in with millions of soldiers from one direction, and bombs were dropping. The Germans surrendered. And when, you know, those airplanes dropped bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the Japanese surrendered. Now when Krishna says Sarva Dharma Puritya, abandon all varieties of religion and surrender, it's not like that. Of course. Ultimately, we all surrender to God in the form of death. Krishna says, I am death personified. But nobody likes to surrender to death. What Krishna and all the great saints are talking about, Shatranagati surrender, it's the most beautiful experience and the most wonderful concept in all creation. It means genuinely offering our love. I am yours. How can I please you? Let me live a vibrant, dynamic life and let me use all my creative abilities, my intelligence, my wealth, whatever I may have. Let me use it all as an expression of my love for you by helping all others. Not in a selfish way, but in a way of compassion. That is surrender. It's beautiful. And Krishna reciprocates. We just surrender according to our tiny little capacity, and Krishna showers unlimited blessings of his love. And in this age of Kali, where people are so much mixed up and people have so little capacity and fortitude to really follow strict spiritual principles. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishnavatar. The Lord has made it so easy. Just live a pious moral life. Just try to serve without selfishness. Just try to associate with people who will enliven you and inspire you for these virtues. And what else is required? Krishna's appeared within his name. If we chant the name of God sincerely, that is our surrender. Krishna, I'm chanting to be your servant, to please you, to purify my heart so that I can love you and be an instrument of your compassion to the people of this world with whatever I have. Not denying the gifts that God has given us, but using them in devotion. In this spirit, we could realize the highest truths and discover that lost love within ourselves and be fully receptive to Krishna's love for us when we sincerely cry out his holy name. Any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a wonderful class. Maharaj, you told about love, but in this material world, so is there something gaining? Suppose there are relations built up due to money. When money is not there, and some relation build up, some gaining is from, suppose, cow, bulls. But when cows are old, getting old, people are sent it to slaughterhouses. So that all the love relate to selfishness. So how this love, that means in material world, everything get
is selfish. So how we can convert it into real motive, spiritual love?
By associating with people who have that love and by learning from them. And as we'd explained in class, Mahajano Yena Gatasa Panta, we cannot imitate great souls, but by following in the footsteps of great souls, we learn the art of loving, the art of living and loving. Gratitude is necessary. Humility is necessary. A cow is giving milk to you, and then when she stops giving milk to send her to slaughterhouse, is that gratitude? Is that love? Is there a way that you will survive without doing that? Of course. Compassion is the symptom of love. And this bhakti is the method of transforming our lust and our greed into love by reconnecting it with Krishna. And that Guru and Vaishnavas teach us that method. I was just told one religious leader who promotes very strongly ahimsa, but himself eats meat. Because ahimsa is for humans. Ahimsa does not extend to non-humans. But most of his followers have dogs and cats. And you just kick their dog and they're ready to kick you. They'll call the police, put you in prison in the West. Compassion. But then after they call the police on you, they'll eat cows. Essentially, it's not about health. People don't eat meat because of health. Maybe on some very rare occasions, and it's really not necessary. Some of the healthiest, strongest, greatest people that ever lived did not eat meat. They're vegetarians. It's the greatest cause of global warming, according to scientists, is the meat industry. One great proponent of stopping the greenhouse effect was saying, you know, stop driving your car so much and try to use electric cars, was challenged in a meeting that all the things you're saying, 10 times less emissions will cause greenhouse effect, 10 times less if people just don't eat meat one day a month, than all the cars in the world and all the factories. Why don't you tell them that? And he said, what am I supposed to do? Tell these people to be vegetarian? The person said, yes, why not? It's the reality. Ecologically, it's disastrous to the planet. Environmentally, aesthetically, the bloodshed and the howling of cows. Bring your child to a slaughterhouse and see how much he enjoys it. And as far as compassion, ahimsa means to avoid suffering to whatever extent is humanly possible. So what it really comes down to is people just selfishly like the taste. That's the reason. That's all. Either because everyone else does it or because I just like the taste.
But love for God is to love God's children. And wherever there's life, there is the presence of the soul. And we should honor, respect, and be grateful. Does that answer your question? And we learn that by the association we keep.
Maharaj? Maharaj, as you told, compass of life is... Hare Krishna Maharaj. As you told, compass of life is faith in saintly people. But many times this compass of life is faith in saintly people. But many times this compass is cheating compass. Example is, so many cases are there in India, like in South India. So many examples are there, like so many people, they seems to be saintly, but they are not saintly. And we keep faith on these people and we get cheated.
Oh, we must understand the definition of a saint. Ravana disguised himself as Sita. I mean, he disguised himself as a saint to Sita. And that's how he cheated her. Yes? So we have to understand what are the qualities of this actual saint. And if they don't act saintly, then they cannot help us. Guru Sadhu Shastra. God speaks through the scripture, and the sadhus are the people who actually follow them, and the guru is one who is following the sadhus and the scriptures. Evam parampara praptam should be a parampara, a line of great souls who are protecting the truth, and we should understand what that truth is. And we should understand what the qualities of a saintly people are from the scriptures. And if we put our faith in somebody who's following, but then we see that they're not actually following properly, then Krishna will protect us if we're sincere. We follow those who are genuine, who are real. It's not about performing magic tricks. It's not about charisma. It's not about the amount of followers. A saintly person is someone who is genuinely humble, a person who is genuinely compassionate to others, and a person who guides us toward God. Not a person who says, I'm going to save you, but a person who's the humble servant who's just trying to connect us to God's love. That answer your question? So we're not talking about souls who are misleading in the name of saints. We are talking about real saints, real devotees. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, why does the search of love ends on Krishna? Why can't this love be towards other persons, as in a boy loving a girl or a girl loving a boy? I mean, even there we get reciprocation, we get happiness, we get satisfaction. So why we need to keep Krishna at the center, as the center of love? And I mean...
I was hoping you would ask that philosophical question. If that's what you want, that's what you'll get. But the definition of love is selfless. Kama is selfish, prema is selfless. When we're trying to satisfy our own desires, our own passions, that is kama, that is not love. It may be called love. We're searching for our love through that process. But it's temporary.
And how many people in this world have looked for that lost love in a romantic relationship? And how many are singing the blues? Means it comes and it goes. To the degree you become attached to that experience of so-called love, to that degree you're going to suffer when it ends. The real question is, are you the body or are you the soul? Please return microphone to him.
After listening to the Bhagavad Gita course given by Gaurapal Prabhu, I'm convinced that we are the souls.
This is the glory of Sadhu Sangha. Association with real saints. So you are the soul. So what gives pleasure to the soul? The soul isn't concerned with just some physical, temporary, fleeting relationships. The soul's satisfaction is on the spiritual platform. So if you have a wife and you and your wife are sharing your lives in cultivating love for God, then that's a beautiful experience. That's a divine relationship. It's not a matter of negating those things. It's a matter of just doing it properly. Does that answer your question?
Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, thank you for the enlightening words. Maharaj, we have seen that the object of our love keeps on changing throughout our life. Like in our childhood, the object of our love is a little chocolate. Then we grow up and come to the youth, and then the object of love changes into bikes and fames or for money or for prestige. And then we come in bhakti, then our object of love changes to Krishna. So we have so many lovers from our past, and Krishna is also one of the lovers. So how to identify that Krishna is the real lover?
Very simple. Mahajano yena katasa panta. How many saints were attached to eating chocolate? But they're all attached to Krishna. Is there any other question?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, kindly accept my humble obeisances. My question is, all the great acharyas and all the great saintly people who actually came in search of all the lost lovers of Lord all the lost servants of Lord, and actually they are helping us in a great way. They are helping us. They are actually very essential instruments. So what I wanted to ask you is, we generally do not, it's very difficult to really it's really difficult for us to anyhow, serve them. I mean, like, we are simply unqualified to serve them in any way. We are simply not at all. We do not actually, we cannot in anyhow, be really grateful or satisfy them in any way. Satisfy their soul in any way,
Gauranga Prabhu will talk to you after class. he's very eager to meet you. Now, my very dear friend, Shamdasji, I'd like to briefly introduce him. Unfortunately, you came so late, it's the end. But he's from America, New York area, yes?
New York.
Connecticut. But he came to India from America in 1972, and he's been primarily living here ever since then. In Vrindavan, and he has become a very recognized and very, very highly respected scholar of Sanskrit. And he speaks eloquent Hindi, Brijbhash, and Gujarati. And he's deeply discovered the inner secrets of bhakti. And we feel today it's very special. We were discussing previously how today is Sripad Vallabhacharya Mahaprabhu's appearance day. And Vallabhacharya Ji has sent one of his intimate, loving followers and associates to bless us on this occasion. He's one of the most popular transformative kirtan singers in the Western world. He's very famous throughout America and Europe. And he's one of my dearest friends. Let us very enthusiastically and loudly welcome Shamdas from this next question can be directed toward Shamdas.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. We find that in our life, we got the process for reviving the love of God, that is Krishna consciousness. But we find at the same time that we have the conditionings of enjoying mentality also. So, we find in our life that now we have got the process for reviving the love of God, that is Krishna consciousness. At the same time, we find that we have conditionings of enjoying mentality. So many times we are in the situations where there is a tug of war between enjoying mentality and as well as following the process of Krishna consciousness. So many times we either lose here or we win here. So how always we let the things go in such a way that we are always on the side of, letting the love for Krishna through the process of Krishna consciousness win over our conditioning of enjoying mentality.
Yeah. Hari Hari. Aisa lag raha hai ki aapne khud ka question ko answer kiya. Humko aisa lag gaya. Because you said that how do you deal with the desires that one might have in the world that would take you away from Krishna devotion? Well, what it is that you have to develop the Krishna devotion so it's stronger than anything else. And to develop that Krishna devotion, you have to be with maybe 900 people who have the same view, who are trying to develop that, who are trying to develop their Krishna awareness through satsang. So this is largely a question of your association. There's a poem by Surdas. He says, Taja mana hari vimukhina ko sanga. Oh, mind, mana. Taja mana hari vimukhina ko sanga. Leave those who are turned away from hari. Jako sanga kubuddha upajata hai parita bhajana me bung. This is in Braj Bhasha. Because by having their association, it will break the flow of your Krishna consciousness. And then on the last line, Surdas says, Surdas was the great bhakti kavi, he says, Suradasa kari kamarape charo nadujo rang, which means that upon Krishna's black blanket, there is no other color which can make an impression. Which means that if you are in the ranga, if you're in the color or the love of Shyam Sundar, then that love which you experience for the Blessed Lord will automatically elevate your mind and your indriyas and your senses and your attitudes to a position where you will not be dragged away from that. And of course, this is a gradual process. And I think the strongest sadhana that I have seen, I wouldn't even call it a sadhana, is satsang. Is to have the association of other like-minded people. So that by having that, I think that one's mind will naturally go to the lotus feet. Bas?
Even when I'm alone sometimes, or I may land up in the situations when I'm alone. So even at that time, how will sadhana will help me at that time?
Well, then at that time, you should have the satsang of Shastra. You should have the sangha of elevated literature. Or you should chant the names of Hari, of course. But if you have good association, even for ik palak, for a blink of the eye, Vrindavan ika palaka joreye. If you can live in Vrindavan for one palak, for the blink of an eye, janama janama ke papa katata he Krishna Krishna mukha keye, then lifetimes of complications, of impurities, will be removed and you'll automatically be reciting the names of Hari. And so even though you obviously can't have satsang 24 hours a day, but if you can have satsang for even 10 minutes, what it is, it's something like the potter's wheel. Like when you are making a pot on a potter's wheel, you first spin it, if you've seen it in the villages. Now everything is electric, but I am still living in the village, and they make these coolers and sakoras, and they spin the wheel with a stick first, and they get the wheel going at very high RPMs, and then they let the stick go, and that wheel continues to spin for like 5 or 10 minutes. So what that is that the satsang is the initial ability to make the wheel go. And once the wheel is going, you can let go of the stick and the wheel will continue to go. In a similar way, by having good association, the vibrations of that, the effect of that, will continue beyond the time span of it. So the question which you have plagues everybody pretty much. And the solution, satsang, like you're having here.
Thank you very much. It's an ultimate answer.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. I would like to ask question that like Maharaj told ki God is so much loving and he comes to material world to search for his loving servants. But sometimes we try to put faith in that way, in that way ki Lord is so much loving to us. But sometimes we fail to really see that love and we fall down, matlab, like in that way. So how to see that love in that way? Like Maharaj every time matlab, tells in this. And we really feel very much enlightening. But when we go in our life and we see the hands of the Lord, but we try to put faith and again we fall down like that. Then how to see this?
I think you have a choice here. Do you want to focus on your falling down or do you want to focus upon your rising up? Bhai, aapko ek nirnay ko lena padega, bhai. Bhai. I mean, I can sympathize with you, that falling down, but there is a difference between humility, which is dinta, and being feeble. Being feeble is like, I'm fallen. And having humility is, I'm not really qualified, but I would like to be qualified. I would like to have the association. I would like to have Krishna's presence. But right now, my situation is such that I'm not seemingly qualified. So that creates a fire of divine longing. So the fire of divine longing is very different from feeling just down and out. I mean, it's a vast difference. Feeling down and out is just what that is. Matlab, aap to gir gaya. Abhi aapko uthana hai bhaiya. To uthane ke liye to aap dinta bao ko pakad. Means that to have the humility, and the humility has in it fire. And that's why, you know, there is no proper word in English. I'm a translator, and whenever I look at the word dinta, I figure, well, how to translate? Humility. But it's not really perfect, because it's humility that has expectation of a divine reward at some time in the future when I can finally focus my mind on the lotus feet. And if in the middle I happen to have an obstruction, wherever it comes from, then as opposed to focusing on the obstruction, I would then try to focus on how to get out of the obstruction. And that again, I mean, there is iki upaya, satsang, you know, to seek the sacred association, to recite the sacred names, to have mahaprasad, to do shravan, kirtan, padasevanam, all of those different types of bhakti practices. And then, because the real problem is having false identification towards something. That's really where the problem is. So we come to a point, I think, when we follow in the bhakti path, that whenever we falsely identify with something, even if we're doing it, an alarm goes off. Okay, I am falsely identifying. Now, when the alarm doesn't go off, then the false identification continues. So you have to set your alarm system correctly so that when something goes wrong like that, to fir aapko turant malum ho jayega bhai ki humne kuch gadbad kiya, ab humko Thakur ji ka das hoon, and that I take your sharan and you are going to take care of me. Because that's the nature of the Blessed One, is that if you take the Blessed One's shelter, the Blessed One is going to take care of you. And knowing that, there's nothing else really to know. Hari Hari.
Hare Krishna. when Maharaj told ki whatever has happened and what is happening, as well as what is going to be happened, everything is done by with the permission of Lord Krishna. And I believe what is happening in our mind, in our soul, what is happening, it is all with the permission of Lord Krishna only. So what is our duty then what we have to do? Because I believe whatever I am doing, it is with the permission of God only. So... what's my duty then?
So does that mean everything everyone is doing is the will of God? Is that your understanding?
Excuse me?
You're saying everything you do is the will of God?
Yeah.
Everything everyone does is the will of God?
Yes. Whatever we are doing, even this preaching you are telling and we are listening, even a small movement of air also, it is controlled by Lord Krishna only. So what's the meaning, we will do satsanga, we have to chant, whatever we want to, we think to do, what's the meaning of that?
We understand the will of God because God comes to this earth to tell us His will. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. And Krishna says in Gita, satatam kirtayanto mam, you should chant my holy names. So for this reason we understand God wants us to chant His holy names, so we chant His holy name. Krishna's will is He gives us all free will. Without free will, there cannot be the possibility of true love. And when we misuse our free will to go against the will of God, then it's the will of God that we're under the control of the laws of karma. So yes, when you're suffering due to misbehavior, your misbehavior was not God's will, it was your will. But your karmic creation or reaction, it's the will of God that He's given you free will. And it's the will of God that you get the reactions of your free will. So in that sense, everything is happening under the will of God. But we have our free will on how we're going to reciprocate with God, with Krishna.
That our free will is not controlled under the control of Sri Krishna?
It is. But Krishna, by Krishna's all-pervading, unfathomable greatness, within His free will, He has given you minute free will to decide what you want to do at every moment. And you are responsible for every decision. God's will is given in the scriptures. God's will is given through the saints. And when we live by those teachings, then we're actually living by the will of God. Otherwise, it's our own independent, naughty behavior that we will have to get the consequences through the laws of karma. So this is one of the greatest illusions, and it's the greatest ways that you can personally cheat yourself and others. To think that whatever I want is God's will. It is not God's will. God's will is we live a moral life. God's will is sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja, that we abandon all varieties of dharma and surrender to Him with love. that answer your question?
When my free will is not under the control of Sri Krishna.
Your free will is under the control of Krishna. But Krishna's under Krishna's control, he gives you free will. He gives you independence to love him or hate him, to follow him or defy him. You have that free will. But Krishna gives you that free will. Turn the microphone on.
With the grace of Sri Krishna, if with the free will, if I will keep on doing the wrong things, without the grace of Sri Krishna, that it is impossible for me then come back to Sri Krishna then.
Until you accept Krishna's will through the saints and the scriptures, you can never go back to Krishna. Do you like to say something, Shyamdas?
Okay, I'll try. I mean, it's according to his will. I mean, what it is that you have to understand the laws of karma. So you will receive a reaction for the type of deed that you do. Okay, I think that's where you really want to focus on, so that if you perform actions that are in the mood of dedication to Bhagavan, then the reward of that action, which you're not really even looking for, will be exalted. And if you're doing actions that are promoted by your own self-interest, that's a very different reward. So that's the thing which you really have to focus on, as opposed to, well, I have free will and Krishna gives me free will. Krishna gives you the ability to either get it right or get it wrong. Because in the end, there is a certain play here. And I think we're looking at a game of hide and seek here. And so the person who is endowed with vivek, who has wisdom, is going to be able to, by following, as Maharaj says, in the line of Shastra and in the line of the saints, they will develop vivek or discrimination that will allow them to act according to God's will as opposed to your own self-interest. And to just reveal one more thing is that when you act out of your own self-interest, the pleasure which you get is very kamjor. And when you act out of a sense of sharanagati and surrender and dedication, the pleasure of that is completely alug. And that's why they say, Josuka hota gopala gave, so nahi hota japa tapa kotika tirtha nahave. So that the pleasures of singing of Gopal, which is one activity which we could be engaged in, is superior to mindless recitation, austerities, meditation, japa tap, and kotika tirtha ave, and going off and bathing in 1,000 different ponds. The pleasure of singing of God's glories is superior. So that's an example of a teaching which we should follow. And I hope that that the will which you consider to be your own is eventually merged into Krishna's will. Because if it isn't, then puna jananam, puna maranam, then you're in the cycles. So the choice is yours, but it's obvious.
He already answered your question perfectly. So, Gauranga Prabhu is telling us that the curfew has come.
We already welcomed Mr. Ranganathan and Dr. Ramakrishna. I'd like to also welcome Mr. Sukumar Prabhu, Mrs. Girija, Dr. Ashok Mishra, Mr. Sandeep, Mr. Govind Sharma, Mrs. Sharma, Mr. and Mrs. Amit Jasra Sararia, Dr. Joshi, Mr. Jay, Dr. Dheeraj Bhattad, Mrs. Chauhan, and Dr. Bhaskar. Thanks for joining us this evening. Let us welcome all of them by loudly chanting. The next Prerna festival will be on the 15th of May, which is a Saturday. And the topic and the speaker will be announced later. And we are very grateful to His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for spending this Prerna with us. And he'll be traveling to the West in a few days' time. And we really look forward to having his association again on his return for next Prerna festival whenever he returns back. Thank you, Maharaj, for your association. Let us thank him by loudly chanting. And let us also thank Shyamdas Prabhu for his wonderful answers to the few questions which were posed. Let us thank him for his association. So for the students who have come for the first time, this Prerna festival, please, could you rise on your seat where you're sitting? Could you stand up? Thank you very much for joining us this evening. We have a special gift counter downstairs, and we request all of you to collect your gifts from the gift stall. And every Sunday we conduct seminars on management techniques from the Bhagavad Gita from 7 to 8:30 p.m. If anyone is interested, you can give your names at the registration counter below. Also, we have various events at various places all over Mumbai, like Borivali, Nagpada, Nerul, Vidya Vihar, Matunga. Details of these programs all over Mumbai are available at the counter below. And we'd like to thank Mehul Dhaka Prabhu for sponsoring all the gifts for the students. And let us welcome all of these students who have come for the first time by very loudly chanting. Thank you very much. So now we request everyone to kindly rise for the kirtan with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj.